The day after the Khobar attack, we presented Tony Lake with a detailed report placing the blame on Iran's Quds Force and their front, Saudi Hezbollah. Lake believed us and wondered why the CIA had not reached the same conclusion. He sent the report to CIA Director John Deutsch, who replied only that ours was one of many theories. At the FBI, Director Louis Free responded eagerly to the White House request for an FBI investigation. It was one of the few times Free did anything eagerly that the White House had asked him to do. Free told senior FBI officers that the White House staff were all politicals who could not be trusted. Soon after the Khobar attack, Free was sought out by Saudi Ambassador Prince Bandar. Bandar charmed Free at frequent meetings at the Saudis' Virginia estates. Behind the glad hand, the Saudis had no intention of cooperating with the FBI. The attack had revealed an internal vulnerability in the kingdom. The Saudis did not want that embarrassment publicly revealed. Free sought to understand from Prince Bandar why the FBI was not getting better cooperation from the Saudi government. I learned that Bandar had explained to Free that the White House did not want the Saudis to cooperate with Free. Clinton, Bandar claimed, did not want the evidence that Iran had bombed an American Air Force base. Clinton did not want to go to war with Iran. Free believed it. It fit with his own dim view of the president. In the White House, we heard that Free began telling congressmen and reporters of the supposed Clinton cover-up. Free should have been spending his time fixing the mess that the FBI had become, an organization of 56 princedoms, the 56 very independent field offices, without any modern information technology to support them. He might have spent some time hunting for terrorists in the United States, where Al-Qaeda and its affiliates had put down roots, where many terrorist organizations were illegally raising money. Instead, he reportedly chose to be chief investigator in high-profile cases like Khobar, the Atlanta Olympic bombing, and the possible Chinese espionage at our nuclear labs. In all of those cases, his personal involvement appeared to contribute to the cases going down dark alleys, empty wells. His back channels to Republicans in the Congress and to supporters in the media made it impossible for the president to dismiss him without running the risk of making him a martyr of the Republican right, and his firing a cause celeb. In actuality, Clinton had been pursuing the opposite path to what Free imagined. In discussions with Saudi officials, the U.S. made very clear, at presidential direction, that there must be full cooperation, not the rapid decapitation of suspects, as had been done in the Riyadh case. With the king largely incapacitated, Crown Prince Abdullah was making the decisions. Without telling the United States, he entered into talks with Iran. After many months, what was agreed between the Saudi and Iranian leadership was essentially this. Iran would not sponsor or support terrorism in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia would not permit the United States to launch attacks on Iran from the kingdom. The White House pressure on the Saudis to cooperate in the investigation continued over 3 years, with letters from the president and demarches by national security advisors Lake and Berger. Vice President Gore demonstrated his famous temper in one such meeting, pounding on the table and asking a Saudi prince what sort of country hid the identity of people who had killed American personnel stationed in that country, defending it and its royal family.